Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Susan L. Taylor, Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of Essence Magazine. My sadness and depression grew out of giving myself to my career before I would give myself to myself. And then I am out there speaking in front of thousands of people with a smile pasted on my face but dying on the inside. Hiding sadness makes you more and more sad because it closes you off. Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing. We're dying, and the most revolutionary and healing thing that Black people can do right now is to love one another.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. Mental illness is devastating our community, and it's up to us to stop it. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. And what I know is, together, we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for waking up and joining the show. It's a beautiful fall day here in Philadelphia. And we're going to be talking about depression this morning with a wonderful guest, Terry M. Williams. She's not only an author, she's an activist, she's a PR mogul. She is just on a mission to help the African-American community heal their depression. And I want to read right now a bit from her book, Black Pain, It Just Looks Like We're Not Hurting. This is a poem by a young man by the name of Water. When I was younger, my teachers would always tell me I made too much noise, but I was only considered a minor nuisance because boys will be boys. I always wanted to be the class clown or the kid with the quickest temper. Yeah, I guess you can say I craved attention for as long as I can remember. You may have seen me in the principal's office or even had me in your class. You may have whispered under your breath, somebody needs to whoop his ass. I may have made you clench your fists or even grit your teeth. But did you ever stop to think to yourself, what really lies beneath? I tried to get your attention with anger, and you had security beat me down. I tried to get your attention with laughter, and you labeled me a clown. I tried to get your attention with crazy hairstyles, and you told me I looked absurd. I tried to get your attention with grades, and my peers called me a nerd. I tried to shut down and appear uninterested. You told me I had ADD. So I tried to be hyper and energetic. You had the guards come and medicate me. There's a whole bunch more to that poem. You need to pick up the book, Black Pain, It Just Looks Like We're Not Hurting by Terry M. Williams. But really, there are a lot of people out there hurting, and they're trying to exhibit it, but we're ignoring the signs. Just let me tell you a little more about Terry. She also has the Terry Williams Agency. She started that in 1988 with superstar Eddie Murphy and the late jazz legend Miles Davis as some of her first clients. She's also written three other books, The Personal Touch, What You Really Need to Succeed in Today's Fast-Paced Business World. Her second book, Stay Strong, Simple Life Lessons for Teens, and that was the catalyst that started her foundation, the Stay Strong Foundation. And also, A Plentiful Harvest, Creating Balance and Harmony Among the Seven Living Virtues. Good morning, Terry M. Williams.
Good morning, Joy. Bill Holmes, good morning.
Wow. This is wonderful, just an honor to have you on the show this morning. I have a special co-host this morning, Bill Holmes. He is also an author. He is CEO of Universal Expressions, and he wrote One Love, which is an Essence best-selling fiction novel. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Bill. Whoa.
So, Terry, you have so much, so much in this book. Let's start with your story of why you wrote the book and your battle dealing with depression. Let's start off with that.
Well, first of all, I have to just share with you that I'm emotional right now because this is the first time you're playing Susan Taylor's spot. It's the first time that because so much has been going on, it's the first time that I heard it. And just a little emotional. It's to have gone through the fire and come out on the other side and to find out what I was called to do is just a blessing. And then the poem that you read by Water, also he's a brother, Reggie, his name is Reggie Hadgett, Reggie Hadgett,
yeah,
who works with the Boys and Girls Club in Hartford. And it's a very, very powerful piece, but I've never thought about using that excerpt when I'm speaking. So that was amazing. Thank you. It was like it says it all in a very powerful way, because whenever the piece is read, you can hear people go at various lines, you know, like knowing what they were talking about. But, you know, I wrote Black Pain, It Just Looks Like We're Not Hurting, because I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I'm supposed to know what the signs are. And I found myself in the depths of despair when I had a breakdown about 9 months ago. I would wake up with overwhelming and crippling anxiety, just not wanting to face the day. And so I would lie in bed for, you know, hours on end, not wanting to get up, you know, in a fetal position. I was highly, highly irritable, snapping at people, had difficulty concentrating. I self-medicated with work and with food. Those were my means of not dealing with my stuff, running from my pain. And, you know, it affected my business, of course. And I just remember one day just saying, this cannot be normal to wake up like this every day. And I just clear as a bell one day, I heard myself say, something is wrong that you have to wake up like this every morning. But I wasn't thinking depression. So it's you know, long story short, I mean, I moved to get help, went to psychiatrists, you know, through some friends, and I just remember very clearly I was a mess when I walked into her office, and she just said, you know, clinical depression. And I was like, it was a sigh of relief. It's like.
It's all right.
Because I knew that it had a name. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And just so that you know, too, that when the tears flow, sometimes I can talk right through it, and other times it's like I am right back there where it was, you know, where I was. But what I know is that it's necessary for us to talk about it. So the tears, okay, they come and they go.
Definitely. Let me also share with the audience myself, and this is another reason I wanted to have the show. I myself suffered with depression. And I was a very happy person all my life up until that point. And I never understood when people say they're depressed. I'm like, what is that? Like, okay, you know, get over it, get up, move, exercise, you know, hang out with friends, do whatever you got to do. Like, that's just not me. I was a go-getter, you know, go forward, do this, do that, boom, 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 boom. Well, I had an incident in my life, and 2 years after that, I was depressed. I was crying. I felt nauseous. Certain songs I couldn't go into. I remember going to the Wawa and the song started playing and I thought I was going to throw up. I'd be in the shower crying. I have a daughter. At the time, I was thinking, I'm in the shower. Nobody can hear me. Well, she's older now. And she told me, she says, Mom, I heard you crying. And I was just blown away, you know, because I'm thinking I'm trying to protect her because I would put a face on that mask that you talked about, Terry, to try to, you know, keep going, be a mom, you know, get her all the stuff she needs. And I was growing up in a middle-class family, so therapy, I wasn't resistant. I knew there was something wrong, so I did go to therapy. Now, I didn't take any medication, but I probably should have because it probably would have made a faster recovery, you know. But I was hard-headed, and I was suspicious. And that's something you talk about in your book, African-Americans and the Medical Community, and the suspicion they have. Talk to the audience a little bit about your research you did around that and the resistance that we have as a community to medication.
Yes. I mean, it's much a stigma in our community. I'm moved to share something, if I might, because you said something very critical just now. When you said that, you know, with our kids that we want to be the strong ones and we don't want to appear vulnerable, I speak about that a lot because I think in trying to appear to be the strong one, we set our kids up for emotional failure. When the kid says to us, Mommy, Daddy, adult figure, are you sad? Are you angry? At the moment that we say no, we are teaching our kids how to lie, how to wear the, unintentionally, we're teaching our kids how to lie, how to wear the mask, how not to deal with your emotions. We're teaching them to second-guess their intuition because their intuition told them that something was wrong, but this most high person in my life just lied to me. And
yes.
then the last thing is we're supposed to teach our young what we do when we fall down. Who else are they supposed to look to except to us for coping mechanisms? So
mm-hmm.
when we don't share ourselves with them, then we're not teaching them, well, you know what, when I fall down, I get up, I ask God to order my steps, I pray to him, I exercise, I write in a journal, I talk to a therapist, I'm on medication. So we're missing out on critical life lessons. So that was just really awesome
that
you said that.
Yeah, and I have talked to her, and I have talked to her about, you know, when she's angry, when she said things that she can do, going to talk to therapists, that it's not a sign of weakness. But that's also something my parents did teach me. So that's why I wasn't resistant when the stuff was happening to go to a therapist, but I was resistant to the medication part. But let me read from your book a little bit here, 20 Signs That You Might Be Depressed, to the audience. You're always too busy, never have or take the time to give yourself the care you need. You're running from something. Something is eating at you. You keep things that bother you locked up inside, festering. You can't speak, you can't ask people for what you need. You lie about everything. I mean, that's a key point right there. We just said it. We're lying to our children. We're lying to our friends, even about the simplest things.
Yep.
You can't wait to get home to eat or something else. Maybe it's watch TV. Maybe, you know, you have these obsessions with other things possible. You just don't have the energy to do anything. Everything is so hard that you're sleeping. That was an issue. I couldn't sleep. My mind was constantly racing. You know, I want to bring Bill in the conversation because we talked about sharing emotions, sharing stories. And as an African-American male, where are you taught to do these things? Share your emotions, share your feelings, discuss stuff? What? Just buck up. Just come on, man. Deal with it.
Wow.
That's cool. Your boy said a mouthful.
Exactly. But for me, my experience based on was dealing with my relationship with my father and then how, you know, getting emotional and being told, you're not supposed to cry. I don't ever want to see you cry.
Mm.
Or just, like, keeping things in and just really, you know, keep it moving as far as you don't have time to show your emotions. You don't have time to heal. And you go into the book. You go into it in Black Pain so much about this topic, Terry, in regards to, like, the game face that we put on and just trying to just putting on this mask that we wear that inside that we're hiding from ourselves and not really wanting to address what issues that we've gotten because we're supposed to be a man. We're supposed to be the breadwinner, we're supposed to be the providers,
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to be the ones that are to be the strong ones, but inside we don't know how to deal and express our emotions.
You are so very right. I, you know, it's hard being a human being on the planet, but I do think, and not taking away from Black women who are so often the sole nurturers and caretakers, but I think to be a Black man in this country is really one of the hardest jobs on the planet because you said, as you said, born and bred and raised to suck it up, to be a man, and to not show your emotions. So, and when we don't talk about those things that Joy, some of those signs, we die a slow death. And spiritual suicide is death just the same. And to not give voice to your pain and suffering will take you out of here. You know, I'm much more evolved now, but just 7-8 months ago, there was a lot going on in my life. Wasn't talking about it. Wasn't dealing with it. Was on the phone with a friend, and just the tears just started to flow. And it was like next day I went to a new therapist because the one I was working with had moved. And I literally just when I got to her place, I couldn't even speak. I walked in, talked and wept, and I just felt drained but so good when I left. It's like, thank you, God, for giving me a space to just give voice.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do that, we don't have those opportunities. So we're literally walking around pressure cookers so that the least thing that is said or done, and then maybe somebody's dead 2 seconds later just because of the stored up pain that comes out, especially in Black men, in anger and rage.
Yes, now that's a key point right there, the anger and rage, and that's and sadness that is there, but they don't want to talk about the sadness. It's easier, and you talk about that in your book. Bill, you can bring a voice to that. It's easy to be angry than it is to be sad, to be vulnerable.
Yes, absolutely.
And yes.
Just the,
yes.
That's just the trigger mechanism. If we're not, the
exactly.
Only emotion, if we're not supposed to show, we have to resort to anger, and you definitely talk about it, and I think the illustration point where you talked about 50 Cent, where he had, you know, this is all that I knew, is this is how I handled everything.
Yep.
And then once I handled it, then I had to deal with the consequences of my actions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that could be too late, too little, too late, and you just never know.
You're so right. And, you know, I don't know how many of your listeners follow basketball, but, you know, most recently the Los Angeles Lakers won this year's NBA championship.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
Hello?
I'm sorry, you still there, Terry?
Okay.
Can you
yes.
hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
There was mm-hmm. just an amazing thing that came out of it in the person of Ron Artest, who's been in the league a very long time, has been known for being quirky, has been known for his uncontrollable anger on the court, running into the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
it's when they won, he said he wanted to give thanks to God, his family, this, that, and the other, and to my psychiatrist.
Ah! Yes.
And
Whoa.
Everybody was like, thought he was crazy for saying that, but I was like, what an amazing moment, because anybody who knows him knows that there were a few instances in that last game that the old Ron Artest would have blown up and diminished the likelihood of them winning a championship. But he
mm-hmm.
said, and he was on Monique the other day, by the way, in boxer shorts and something else. He's a bit of a character. But what he did say was that he decided to, he had to do some work on himself, and it was the best thing that he has ever done. And for a brother from the inner city to make
okay,
that yes. kind of, oh, my God.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Well, let me tell you, in the chat room, people were just talking a couple things in the chat room. I want to say hi to Big Dread, to Calliewood, to Chris Casper, to Relationship Buzz, and all the other guests that are listening in this morning. And let me just mention, they're saying about time heals wounds. Everybody doesn't need medication. No, everybody doesn't need medication, but if you are battling and you are hitting a wall, let's put it this way. Dr. Phil says, how's it working for you? If it's not working for you, then you've got to go to the next level, and you may need to take the medication. But they're all alternatives. And in Terry's book, she talks about exercise. She talks about eating right. She talks about friendship. Let me mention her website, thestaystrongfoundation.org. That is the website, thestaystrongfoundation.org. Also for her PR, terrywilliams.com. And also check out Stories That Heal. This is a campaign she did. That's one of the PSA I just played in the beginning with Susan Taylor. Now, I'm giving away a free book. I'm giving away a free book. If you want Black Pain, free, no charge, okay, just to heal yourself or heal somebody else, email me. What year did the first issue of Essence Magazine come out? What year did the first issue come out? You can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. But if you don't win the free book, you still need to go pick up the book at the bookstore or the library, Black Pain by Terry M. Williams. And now, Terry, let's talk about the church. You mentioned in there people going to the church, that God will heal me. I don't need to go to therapists. It's God's going to do it all.
Well,
what's going on there?
What I know, it was my God that led me to the right psychiatrist. That's what I know. Because he's
mm-hmm.
put people on the planet who have a unique expertise to help us in all walks of life. You know, the church is certainly a great support system, but quite frankly, most people wear their masks to church. So you don't
mm-hmm.
really know how
Absolutely.
People are doing. You don't really know how people are doing. And everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a challenge. And I think that we have to begin to put a face on what depression looks like. You know, it looks like everybody you know. It looks like the happiest person on the planet. Always got a joke or something to tell when you see them. That's what it looks like. And we have to, Chris Rock, I was at his house last year sometime, and he told me that four of his comedic friends shot themselves in the head over the last 25 years or so. So it's really important that we understand that if all of us have inherited the unresolved wounds, scars, trauma of our parents, and we as parents will do the exact same thing. We do the best that we can. That's what I believe. When we know better, we do better. But it is the cycle of life that if you are a parent, you will pass all of that stuff that you inherited onto your kids. The difficulty is when nobody's getting any help. So it's not to feel bad, because I was somewhere, a woman who has been having some challenges, and she stood up and she said, you know, my daughter is an alcoholic, and I know that I'm to blame. What is, it's you have done, and what I know is that you have done the very best that you could do. You inherited all of this from your parents, and she had a painful childhood. You passed that on to your daughter because that's all that you knew to do. But she can get help. And so it's to not beat yourself up because of that. It cannot be help. It's the cycle of life. And I would want to say that to your listeners. And I would just also say that toxic people in your life can have a very, very negative effect on you. And so there are a number of things that one can do to live a better, more fulfilled life. And what Black Pain does, and this conversation and this campaign, is to let you know that you can lead a stronger, a better, a more productive life once you give voice to the things that are ailing you. I recently, in the last year, and I'm 56, realized that I had anger issues. I don't know. I never really identified that, but what I did know is that I was speaking, and I think I'm one of the most thoughtful, caring, sensitive people on the planet. That is.
Oh, let me tell people that she is, okay? She sent me an email with three wonderful essays about, you know, quotes from God and just uplifting. I hadn't even met her, and at first I was like, What is it? Did she mean it? I'm cooking open. Did she mean it to me? And I'm reading it, and I was like resistant to the blessing, because I was like, what is this? You know?
That's
then,
funny.
Then I accepted it. So I'm just giving witness to yes, you
oh,
are.
Oh, well, thank you
caring,
for that. But thank you for that. So that is me. But there's also a side of me that wasn't dealing with my stuff, and I would say very unkind things to people who loved me. And I've started speaking about that too, because it's not something that I like to admit, but it's what happens when we don't deal with our stuff. And it was my therapist who made an association for me, and it was like, oh, that's why. So I checked myself. Even when I'm driving in my car, I used to be one of those people who would blow the horn if somebody was a little slow at the light. Where are you going, Terry? Why are you rushing? Do you know what I'm saying? And I really am checking myself when I start to feel myself becoming anxious or impatient. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like
Let me just take a caller here before we only have about 6 minutes
left.
Let me take a caller here and ask a question. Good morning. Are we calling from 347 area code?
Yes, I am, and I'm calling to say I want to give homage to Ms. Terry Williams. Terry Williams, I met 30 years ago when I was a student at John Jay College, and she gave me my first interview with Susan on the radio station. And to see Terry's face this morning on this blog talk, there was no way I wasn't going to call in. My name is Sandra Calloway.
Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I have a show on blog talk as well that I started a year ago called Callywood, and this morning, I'm actually not doing my show because I've had food poisoning this week, so I was going to put up a rewind show, and I saw Terry's face, and I was like, there's no way. I wouldn't be doing – I didn't know even think about getting a celebrity to come to a college at 17 years old, and I sent a letter to Terry saying I wanted to interview Susan Taylor, and we emailed – and not emailed because it was emails. We talked back and forth and asked what kind of tea she wanted, and I've been doing it ever since, and I just have to – I'm on my knees right now, Terry – thank you. Thank you.
Mm.
That's so wonderful.
Thank you, Cassandra.
Thank you so,
so
much
good to
for
hear
calling
from
in.
You.
Thank you so much. That is, yeah, Caliwood is an excellent show here on Blog Talk Radio, so check it out if you're on Blog Talk Radio, Caliwood. And again, I'm giving away a free copy of Terry's book, Black Pain, but you need to email me at Saturdays with Joy Keys. The year the first issue of Essence Magazine came out. What year did the first issue of Essence Magazine come out? Now, Terry, one of the great things about your book is that you have a lot of resources in the back. So even if you read all 300 and some pages and you're like, I ain't depressed, nothing wrong with me, I'm fine, you can still go in the back and maybe help somebody else. If you're not suffering, then try to help somebody else. Just real quick story, Terry. I was telling somebody that you were going to be on the show, and they said, oh, yeah, I read that book. She thinks everybody's depressed. I mean, she's making it sound like everybody's going through something. I mean, the person was very upset. And I said, are you upset? Like, are you upset? Are you depressed? Is that what it is? Did it speak to you, you know? She
right.
has a lot of stories, wonderful stories. Blair Underwood talking about his mom, Mary J. Blige, Susan Taylor, Phyllis Hyman, Jennifer Holliday, regular people, doctors, lawyers, children, older people, people with chronic illnesses. Yes, a lot of us are suffering, but we're not talking about it, and Terry is trying to break the silence. So please support and go out and purchase Black Pain or check out her foundation, the Stay Strong Foundation. This is why she wrote the book. And Terry, we only have 3 minutes. In closing, what do you want to say to people out there who may be dealing with depression? It could be postpartum. It could be seasonal affective disorder. It could be manic. What do you want to say to them?
I just want to say that it's that you can live a better, more productive life if you take the time to just honor yourself. You know, put that oxygen mask over your own mouth first. If you're one of those people who's always giving it away to everybody else, it's not a good look. And that really ultimately it was interesting that brother or whoever was saying that I think everybody's depressed. No, I just know that everybody has inherited pain that they don't deal with, they can't speak to, and it's time we can live a better life if we do. There's no question. And to share your story with somebody else, because everybody walks around, you think that everybody else is laughing and smiling and is fine, but if you take the time to understand that everybody has a journey, a story, then you will have you'll move through the world in a more comfortable way. And if you're in a relationship with somebody, it's you and one other person, personally or professionally, just remember that there are at least four people in that relationship, because sometimes you might say something that causes the person to go off, and you think that it has something to do with you, it triggered something that happened to them in their childhood that they never dealt with, and sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you don't know which personality's coming out, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know, that's true. Real quick, one more caller here. Good morning, calling from 781 area code.
Hey, Joy.
Hi, is this John?
Yeah, John Papernick, how are you doing?
Oh, okay. I'm doing a second half show, so John, I'm going to talk to you in 1 minute, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening this morning, especially thank Bill Holmes being the co-host. Check out his book, One Love, BillHolmes.com. Check out TerryWilliams.com. Terry, thank you so much for coming on this morning, sharing your story, just sharing it with the world, and hopefully you will have brought somebody closer to their healing point.
Well, I'm sure we did. It's been a blessing to be with both of you on, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Have a wonderful Saturday.
You too. Bye-bye.
I want to tell the listeners that we're doing a second half of the show talking about celiac awareness. But before then, if you want a free copy of Terry's book, email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. What year did the first issue of Essence Magazine come out? Please pick it up. If you read it, share it with a friend, pass it along. Share it with 3 friends, 4 friends, 5 friends. Just pass it along. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, Caliwood, Chris Casper, Bill. Thank you for being a co-host, and I wish you all a wonderful Saturday. And stay tuned next week. I'm going to have 3 shows next week. Live from London, the London Film Festival, with filmmaker Caroline Kamya, talking with Khalil Gibran Muhammad about the condemnation of blackness, and singer Buika. That's all next Saturday, October 23rd. So please check those things out and have a wonderful Saturday. This coming week.
My name is Susan L. Taylor, Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of Essence Magazine. My sadness and depression grew out of giving myself to my career before I would give myself to myself. And then I am out there speaking in front of thousands of people with a smile pasted on my face but dying on the inside. Hiding sadness makes you more and more sad because it closes you off. Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing. We're dying, and the most revolutionary and healing thing that black people can do right now is to love one another.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. Mental illness is devastating our community, and it's up to us to stop it. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. And what I know is, together, we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.